appreciate the, boy, I love that old hymn. How marvelous. Jesus' love for us. If you would, your Bibles turn this evening to two verses of Scripture, John chapter 15 once again, and then also 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll begin reading in John first, and we'll do a little bit of review, and I'm going to hurry the message along, and I'm looking forward to baptizing tonight. I'm real pumped about that. Are excited for those of you who don't know what the word pumped means. It just means I'm hysterically excited about it. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Look on down there, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. And I hope maybe you've underlined that. This is our third time to kind of go through this verse. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. God, we come to you again tonight, just asking if you would to speak to our hearts as only you can. That each of us would step away from the house of God tonight having just been talked to and learned more about what we should do as Christians and concerning joy. That each of us would have that joy that remains, and each of us would have that joy that is full. God, we just ask that you would do what only you can do in the hearts of believers tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess as I'm thinking about this verse, I just to again reiterate to you that it's just amazing to me how many Christians that I know and hang out with that don't have a lot of joy. Why is that? Why is it that Christians don't have the joy that God so expressingly and so wants us, each of us, to have? And again, we're not talking about that sarcastic smirk on somebody's face, you know, that grimace on a face, a smile, but the joy that comes from the heart, the joy that only the Lord can give. The joy of the Lord, of course, began with God. And again, He is joy. His joy cannot come to us without His life. In other words, joy can only be experienced by knowing Jesus as Savior. Let me rephrase that again and say, real joy can only be experienced by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then we know the more that we know the Lord, the more we know the Lord, the more we know God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and the more we grow, the more that joy grows. So the more we know about the Lord, the more our personal relationship with God grows, so does our joy grow with that. And so, just merely reading your Bible to read the Bible for reading the Bible's sake may not help you near as much as if you'll read it to develop a personal relationship with the Lord. Now, I think you should read it no matter what. I believe the Word of God will do its work no matter what. But to expressly read it in such a way that you're looking for Jesus on every line, and developing that personal relationship with Him will help you immensely in enjoying the Lord and enjoying life. And again, I'm sorry, I know I'm being redundant in some of this teaching, but review's the best teacher. That God gave us life to be enjoyed, not endured. Our marriages are meant to be enjoyed, not endured. And all of those things happen. Our kids are meant to be enjoyed and not endured. And all that happens through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Every part of our life is impacted by our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that joy. We want that joy that remains and that joy that is full. And verse 11 speaks again of that joy that remains in us. And that joy that might be have that fullness of joy. Every believer should desire full joy. That joy that just runs over. In 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn over there with me, in verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 24. Verse 23 says, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith ye stand." For by faith you stand. Paul wrote in reference to his own ministry. But this again applies to all of us who are sincere servants of God. In other words, he was saying, "Hey, I haven't come to you to have dominion over you. I've come to you and preach to you and work with you that I might be helpers of your joy." And though he's speaking expressly to this church, he's also, of course, the application applies to us. As we think about even these lessons, as I teach them, my hope is that I can be helpers in your joy as we read through and as we learn these lessons. Again, a minister does not have... Look at that verse again. Let's read it one more time. "Not for that which we have domination over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand." A minister does not have dominion over faith of God's people. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, right? I mentioned this tonight in our baptismal class. Each person individually has to develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The pastor or the minister, the Sunday school teacher, doesn't have dominion over their faith. The minister is to be helper of the joy of God's people. The people are to stand by faith. And that last part of that verse, "For by faith you stand." And they should stand on their own faith. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that there are people who depend on other people's faith. There are some who depend upon their pastor's faith. Who just simply, step with the marching orders or whatever the case is. Can I tell you that each of us need to walk on our own two feet when it comes to our faith? That you don't have to have your preacher, you don't have to have your Sunday school teacher in order to understand and learn the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you right now that your pastor and your Sunday school teacher and the deacon or the trustee or whatever the case is, and from time to time they're going to let you down. But your Heavenly Father will never let you down. He'll never disappoint you. And you can stand on your own two feet when it comes to faith. You don't have to go to somebody in a little telephone booth and tell them all your problems. You can go straight to God and tell them your problems. Do you see what I'm saying? And my job, my purpose, and the Sunday school teacher's purpose is to help you in your joy, to help you along, be helpers of your joy. I like that. What a tremendous thought. As you think again about this metaphor that Jesus is using in John chapter 15, that God the Father is the husbandman. He's the owner. Can we just set it down again that God is the owner of all things? And that as owner, we are accountable to Him. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. So God's the owner of the vineyard. Jesus is the vine. And we as believers, those who are Christians, those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we are the branches. That's the analogy, the metaphor that's being given here. And because we are the branches, God is expecting fruit. God is expecting fruit. If you own a vineyard, then you're expecting fruit from that vineyard, right? I'm not saying that God's a capitalist, but He expects something to happen of His children. He expects return on His investment. He expects increase. He expects fruit. And rightfully so. He gave His Son for us. He gave His Son that we might have eternal life. And there are people all over the world. There are your next door neighbors, your co-workers that are dying and going to hell without Christ. And He expects us to produce fruit in amongst the crowd. As we think about this, how do we as branches bear fruit? And you've heard messages on this particular text, but messages as it concerns joy. How does this impact our joy? You see, verse 4 and 5 says that we are to abide in the vine, which is Christ. In other words, in order to be fruitful branches, we must abide in the vine. The vine is where we get our sustenance. The vine is where we get our power, if you would. We must abide in His care. We must abide in His fellowship. We must abide in His will. We must abide in His love. We must abide in His way. We must abide in the vine. As we think about our fellowship with God, we understand and know that God never moves. That we are the one that moves. We're the one that gets out of fellowship with God. He's always the same. He never changes. In order for us to bear fruit, in order for us to be what God expects us to be and bear fruit, we must abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must fellowship with Him. We must stay under His care. Again, bearing fruit is not merely an act of rolling up the sleeves and saying, all right, I'm going to go out and I'm going to bear fruit today. No, it doesn't work that way. To abide in Christ. And through Him we bear fruit. I'm telling you right now, listen, and you know this. I know we're just repeating stuff we already know. But there's some new Christians here tonight. Understand this. That bearing fruit doesn't just happen because we muster up the energy. Just like joy doesn't happen just because we muster up the energy. Fruit happens when we abide in the Lord. Because He does the work. I can tell somebody about Jesus. I can tell somebody about the gospel. I can give them the gospel. But it's the Lord who's going to ultimately give them understanding, the Holy Spirit. The closer I am to Jesus Christ, the more I'm in fellowship with Him, the greater joy I'll experience. The greater fruit I will bear. Right? We reap what you sow. The fruit. We are expected to bear fruit. God has no purpose in sending His Son, but that the true vine bears fruit. So He's the vine, we are the branches, we're to bear fruit in Him. All the energy is coming from Him. I'm telling you, my wife knows, I'll embarrass her sometimes, or whoever goes. I love getting in an elevator with somebody, if I get a chance. And if they're friendly, I'll hand them a track. You know what? I'm still scared when I do that. I grew up in church, and I'm still a little hesitant, right? Man, but the Lord gives us power to do so. He says, hey, step out. When the Lord impresses upon me to give somebody a track or tell somebody about Jesus, I want to follow what He says to do, even though I may be apprehensive about it. When we bear fruit through abiding in Jesus Christ, the Father is glorified, and we are His disciples indeed, and we possess His joy. And not just any kind of joy, but joy to the full. When we abide in Him. Some questions we should ask when it comes to fruit bearing and that fruit bearing being essential to joy. What does it mean for a believer to bear fruit? And we could hash this out and go over and over it, but I believe there are two ways in which the Christian bears fruit. Number one, by showing kindness and being generous and being forgiving and helping the afflicted and visiting the sick and praying for people. I believe Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is part of that fruit bearing that we are to produce as Christians. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, all these things as part of us bearing fruit in the Lord. In other words, just simply following in Jesus' steps. Listen, and I'm fixing to go over the major fruit bearing, but listen, in order to be a good soul winner, your life has to back it up. In order to be a good confrontational soul winner and tell somebody about Jesus, if you're going to tell a coworker about Jesus, your life better back it up. Or merely you become a hypocrite to them. And your witness will be ineffective. There are people today who are witnessing to a friend or trying to witness to a neighbor or even a loved one or a family member, and they're not being effective and nothing's happening. And the reason why is because their testimony does not back up their message. You can't witness to your aunt who you've known for 25 years, when you yourself are not living it. It just doesn't work. By the way, parents, if you come to church and dress up in a suit and a tie and you go home and live like the devil the rest of the week, that faith will not be passed on to your kids. Let me clarify this. They may, by the grace of God, come out and continue to serve the Lord, but that'll be the grace of God only. But for the most part, they won't. Because mom and dad's a hypocrite at the house. Amen. We must be consistent in our fruit bearing of character. Our fruit bearing of righteousness. Amen. In order to be effective in our fruit bearing. As we think about a vineyard produces grapes. It produces itself, right? It produces fruit after its own kind. And I believe the fruit here is primarily speaking of us bearing fruit after our own kind. In other words, that we as believers bear fruit of other believers. That we produce other believers. Amen? And I'm sorry, it comes back down to soul winning. And I'm not sorry about that. But it seems like it always comes back in the circle. Because the church is all about winning people to Jesus Christ. Our purpose in life is to please our Heavenly Father and following Christ's steps. And I'm telling you, Christ was all about winning people to Himself. Seeing people get saved. The church should be all about seeing people get saved. And there are other things we do good, but the best thing we do is we win people to Jesus Christ. To tell others about Jesus, to bear fruit without question. Without question, to bear fruit is to bear other believers, to produce other believers. Let me ask you the question. Is my activity for Jesus Christ producing other believers? Am I bringing others to Jesus Christ? When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? Not just told him about it, but when's the last time you gave somebody the gospel? Now, the person accepting Christ is totally up to God. But it's our job to give the gospel out. And if we're going to experience fullness of joy, then we are required to bear fruit. And the fruit is other believers. I'm sure there's maybe some in the auditorium who've never led somebody to Jesus. Boy, that's something I would surely be concerned about. We say, you're the preacher. I get opportunities, but even as a kid, I remember, I told you the story about leading my cousin to the Lord, even at 6 or 7 years old. Man, if it's in you, you just got to get it out somewhere. Amen? Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Tell somebody, bear fruit. Am I bearing fruit as a Christian? If a person bears fruit, then what does it say? Again, if a person is not bearing fruit, what does it say? That they're not abiding in Christ. Get that now. If a person is not bearing fruit, if they are not bearing fruit of character, the fruit of the Spirit, and they're not bearing fruit of seeing others come to know Jesus Christ, then the logical conclusion is that they are not abiding in Christ. Because if you're abiding in Christ, then you'll produce the fruit of the Spirit. And you'll produce bearing fruit of other believers. Pretty simple, isn't it? We got it way down here where everybody can understand, right? Even me. If I'm going to experience joy, if I'm going to have joy that remains, yes, we've already preached, we must be obedient. We must be obedient to the Lord if we're going to have the fruit. Number two, we must abide in Him. But number three, we must bear fruit. Bear fruit. Am I experiencing joy? And then, how is the fruit bearing related to joy? And again, don't miss this. Your joy is directly related to fulfilling the purpose for which we one exist. My existence is in the vine. My existence is in the vine to bear fruit. If I don't bear fruit, I am taken away, will wither, and become useless for all but the fire. And He only gives His joy to the branches that fulfill purpose for which it exists. I'm almost done. We've skipped a lot of this. Y'all ready? Just get down to the nuts and bolts of it. Here it is. You call me the pastor of the church, of any church, but never let me preach. I'll just be glad with that, all right? You know, would I be okay with that? No. I'm going to mess this up. Hang on. Number two, hire a truck driver and let him only ride with others. He won't care, right? Sign a quarterback to a $75 million contract and never let him play. He won't mind, right? Yeah, he will. You hire me as pastor, I want to preach. You hire me as a truck driver, I want to drive. You pay me $75 million to throw a ball, I want to throw a ball. I mean, there's exceptions to the rules, but Again, take a sinner and purchase him with the blood of Jesus Christ and give him a life, the life of God. Attach him to the true vine for the purpose of fruit bearing. He is busy about everything and nothing. Will he still have joy? If he's just busy about, you know, again, we were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Purchased, redeemed by the blood of Christ. We're to follow in our faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to fulfill the purpose that God's intended for us to do. But we get so busy doing so many other things. Not driving the truck, not throwing the ball, right? We get so busy with the temporal things. Or maybe some good things. There are some good things that we get involved in. But sometimes they're not the best things. Do you expect God to give you joy if you're all wrapped up in these extracurricular activities rather than producing fruit? The answer is no. No. If we are to experience fullness of joy, if we are to experience the joy that remains, and all of us want that, there shouldn't be one Christian in here who hasn't experienced it at one time. And once you experience that fullness of joy, you don't want to lose it. But you lose it when you disobey God. That fellowship is broken. You lose it when you're not abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. You skip a devotional time, a time or two, you know? You skip your prayer time. You're too busy. You're not in fellowship with the Lord as you once was. You skip those private times with the Lord. You're in the elevator and God touches your heart about telling somebody about Jesus and give them a track, and you don't even have a track in your pocket. I told you last year I got very convicted about, I always carried my New Testament with me for years and the track always in my pocket. And the beginning of last year, I made the concerted effort to do that. I even challenged our staff to try to catch me without it in my pocket. And now on Sundays a little different. I don't want anything in my pockets, okay? I told you about that this morning. But during the week, I promise you, 99% of the time, there's a track in my pocket and a New Testament in my back pocket. I don't want to ever be in a position where I can't pull out a track and give to somebody. I don't want to ever go to a restaurant and eat a good meal, like I'm so hungry right now, and eat a good meal and not leave a track with my tip. By the way, tip well if you're going to do that, even if you get lousy service. I always want to be in a position, and I'm not perfect, and I haven't done it 100% of the time, but if I want my joy to remain, I've got to bear fruit. And I must put myself in a position to bear fruit. Let's be about the Father's business. Amen? Bearing fruit, telling others about Jesus. There's people around us today dying and going to hell, and you may be the only one who would get the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Let our church always stay consistent in fulfilling our purpose, and the purpose is to win souls. Never let us get distracted like so many other churches today have become, distracted and enamored with so many other things, and yet have left off the main thing. And the main thing is winning people to Jesus Christ, seeing souls saved. Am I, as a branch, fulfilling my purpose in this world? Are you fulfilling the purpose in which God placed you here? As a Christian, are you fulfilling that purpose of bearing fruit? If you are, nothing can prevent your joy. But if you're not, nothing can give you joy. Oh, you can take, like I said, you can take a vacation to the Bahamas and you can experience happiness for a week. But you come back to the same things you've always come back to. What needs to happen is you need to get right with the Lord before you leave to go to the Bahamas. And experience that fullness of joy that David experienced after he confessed his sins. Fulfill God's purpose in your life of winning people to Jesus and bearing the fruit of character and of righteousness, of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. And you'll experience the fullness of joy, and you don't even have to go spend the $5,000 to go do it. Maybe just take you 10 minutes, a little Bible reading time, a little prayer with the Lord. Amen. Boy, that sounds so simple, doesn't it? Why is it so hard? Well, that old selfish nature we got. And the old devil, he hates it. He fights it. He's going to get you busy doing something else. And the world is so attractive. Let's continue to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? Let's don't give up. Teachers, your job is to tell somebody about Jesus in your classroom. The preacher's job is to tell others about Jesus. But every Christian's responsibility is to bear fruit. Let's bear some fruit this week. Let's come back rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Amen? Amen. Let's all